Let's welcome everybody into our Real Kipper and Bourne National Hour. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. And this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. So Vancouver and Calgary, good way to tee off this Monday. Not often you see a trade between two teams and then tee it up a few days later.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed that game. Nice to see Zadorov almost score, too, against his old team, the empty netter that got tipped on the way. But
he also had a bomb from the half boards that missed by a centimeter, too.
He hits it hard. He's got to be really hard. The top, I don't know, 15 guys in the league or something.
We got Sat Shah, who's going to join us momentarily from Canucks Central, Canucks game host as well, and we'll get his thoughts. But my first one is, man, he's a big guy who can move.
Yeah.
And that is a scene we don't see too often in the National Hockey League.
Well, he is one of those rare guys, and you feel like some of the best big men kind of take some time to figure it out. I'm not saying he's Zdeno Chara, but, you know, that was a Chara thing. Early in his career, I remember watching him with the Islanders. It wasn't like it was in Norris Trophy Bruins years. So this guy's going to get better for them. He has a lot of tools, and, I mean, look at the Canucks decor. All of a sudden, you look at it and go, gosh, that's pretty good. So, yeah, good thing for the Canucks here.
Myers and him playing together is hilarious. A lot of human being on the back end. That's not something you want to go up against.
They call him the Chaos Giraffe.
I just wanted to read the AP headline of the Canucks and Canucks and Flames game on Saturday here. I'm just pulling it up. Sorry, I just lost it. Oh boy, here we go. Mikheyev and Lafferty lead Canucks to 4-3 win over the Calgary Flames. So, a couple guys.
You missed that in our Leafs hour. That's when you should have led with that one. No, Mikheyev and Lafferty. Two fast, long guys who can contribute. Kill penalties.
Two guys, and if you include Zadorov at, what, a third and a fifth, not exactly big pieces to give up to get some real quality depth in your lineup.
Yeah, they took on some money, you know, with the Zadorov thing, but you got rid of it with Pavelier, so it makes sense. You know who I think deserves some love on that Canucks decor is Ian Cole. Wherever he goes, he makes a difference for them. You know, is with the Avalanche and pretty good, the Wild, Carolina, Tampa. Every time he's on a decor, it's like their teams
Pittsburgh
have some success.
Yeah. In a championship,
right.
No.
Yeah, he's been a part, in 2016-17.
2016, Pittsburgh Penguins on decor that you wouldn't have probably looked twice at.
He's just one of those
ends
guys.
Ends up winning a Stanley Cup, led by Letang.
Did he win two? He might have won both of them. Yeah, he's got two really long playoff runs on his elite prospects, 24 and 25 games. So I imagine he did win two cups.
There you go.
And he's a steadying guy. Once they have Soucy back, like all of a sudden the Canucks have a really solid decor.
And I'm sorry, but an opening goal that looks familiar with a few other goals this year by Quinn Hughes. Like, it's not a great angle for Markstrom.
Low glove.
But you cannot catch what you cannot see.
Yeah. Gets that off awfully quick.
I got to ask, like, you know, and we can get into this with Sat when you guys talk to him, but what fan base has had their expectations shift more from the start of a season till where we're sitting at right here than the Vancouver Canucks? It's
I don't
crazy.
Know that I've ever seen it. I don't know that I've ever seen a team go in.
Think about what we were talking about this team like heading into the season. Yeah. You know, Rick Tocchet took over. They were good last year, but you don't know if that's at the end of a year thing. You don't know. Yeah. And now you look at their, what are they, plus 35 goal differential. They're right there. They're ahead of the Kings, who are really good. They're right behind the Golden Knights. And they're just like a legitimately with a great goalie, well coached, good decor, good forwards. Like, well, how do we not see this?
Well, so it kind of makes me feel sane because last year I would go on Halford and Brough in the mornings and they'd be like, what do you think? What's going on here? And I'd be like, I don't know. They're good.
Yeah.
There's a good roster.
They got good players.
I don't know what to tell you. They got good players. So
I think Vancouver's turned themselves into the poster child for about 12 other teams right now going, maybe we're not as bad as we thought. Maybe with a couple of changes or just a new attitude, we can turn ourselves around as quickly as Vancouver has.
The Flames could have been thinking that on the other side of the game Saturday night, going, boy, you know, flip a couple guys, who knows here.
Okay, as promised, Sat Shah, host of Canucks Central and Canucks game host, will join us. Sat, thanks for doing this, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always a pleasure, boys. How are you guys?
We're good. We were just mentioning not often that you can see a trade and then watch it from both sides of it like we did Saturday night, but I don't think it disappointed.
No, I don't think it did. I mean, Nikita Zadorov got an assist. He was out there for a few minutes, and you know, he's what this team has needed in terms of adding somebody else in the back end. This team hasn't been short of storylines with their success so far this season. The Pedersen contract that has yet to be signed, and a bunch of other things going on. But it was nice to have a new storyline about a trade, and honestly, a team that's played really well. And you were kind of worried about some of the depth on the blue line. And getting a guy like Zadorov paid dividends right away against Calgary on the weekend.
So, Seth, I kind of want to ask you, not even about this year, but about the year before. And, like, this team has a lot of the same pieces. Where was this? Like I was saying before you came on, like, I kind of thought they were good before and they weren't. So, I guess, what's changed and why wasn't it working prior to this?
Well, I know, Justin, because we've spoken to you. I've heard your hits on Halford and Bruff as well. And yeah. I know you're always kind of flabbergasted. Like, this is a talented hockey team. Yeah. Look at Pedersen. Look at Miller. Look at Hughes and Demko and a number of other star players they have on this team. I think a lot of it honestly comes down to stability organizationally, having real alignment now with the head coach and the players and obviously with the management team. And I do think what they needed to do was really shake up that core, shake up what has sometimes been kind of deemed as a country club atmosphere in Vancouver over the years in terms of how people felt about the players not taking enough accountability. So I do think it was a lot of maturation individually for a lot of these players, the organization being aligned and, you know, changing the mix enough that they had to build a new standard, a new culture. And in terms of how these guys are playing, I mean, last year, yes, they struggled. Yes, there's a lot of stuff going on, but they really shot themselves in the foot more often than not. I mean, they had the most unforced errors in the league, I would say, based on the turnovers, bad turnovers they had. Defensively, they weren't paying attention to what other teammates were doing. Guys were playing for themselves. It was kind of like guys making sure that they're getting their stats when the team isn't performing well, when they didn't feel like the organization was going the right direction. The players went out and just produced. So last year, look, you saw Horvat career year, but defensively, he struggled. Look at JT scored. Defensively, he struggled. All their key players were scoring, but they weren't doing anything defensively. So I think it's been, more than anything, a real mindset change and having real organizational alignment for the first time in many years.
JT Miller, to me, is, I think, the biggest thing that I look at when I see the Vancouver Canucks, on a guy that maybe had a reputation for looking after himself first or being loud in the room at the most inopportune time. And yet now this year it's completely fallen into place. Is that Rick Tocchet? Is that maturation out of Miller, knowing where he is in his career? Where do you look at first?
I think maturation plays a part into it. And not to get too, you know, philosophical here. I mean, Kipper, you would know better in terms of NHL locker rooms and everything, but he's the type of personality that's a real alpha personality. He's a guy that isn't disliked by his teammates. I think last year some stuff came out about him being a salty teammate, and I think that was taken out of context because the guys on the team all love him, and they all got along with him. And I know there's been some talk that over the years him and Pedersen maybe weren't, you know, best of friends, but it's been, you know, a fine working relationship at the very least. So I think there's some maturation being done, but I think a lot of it comes down to accountability. He's the type of guy that needs to have somebody above him that he respects, somebody who's not afraid of calling him out, holding him accountable, and not even so much about yelling at him and getting mad at him, but somebody who can relay that message with a level of respect. It just seemed like last year under Bruce Boudreau, a guy that very clearly was on the way out, and it was very clear that he wasn't the organization's guy. It got to a point where it seemed like the players were not responding the way they would to a guy that they felt like was a lame duck head coach. So I think having a personality like Rick Tocchet that can hold Miller accountable, but also relate to him in a certain way, I think he's one of those guys, like a wild stallion in many ways, that you need to just harness the right way and make sure that energy is being put into the right areas, and the fact that you don't let that get the better of him. And I think that's a big part of it. Maturity is part of it, yes. But I do think when you have a personality like JT Miller, you need to have a good cohesive ecosystem around them with accountability, with other leaders that aren't afraid of calling guys out if they have to. But having a coach who earlier this season, in the game they were winning, benching him for 5 minutes. And this is where JT was leading the league in scoring. The coach wasn't afraid of sitting him down after taking two bad penalties at the end of the second period to cool down. And he said after the game, it is for accountability and also making sure that that guy harnesses his frustration and energy the right way. So I do have to give a lot of credit to Rick Tocchet and having the leadership group now where guys are holding each other accountable a bit more.
You know, I look at the best teams, the teams that win Stanley Cups, and a lot of people will tell you there's a true number one D-man, there's a true centerman and a goalie. That seems to be like an integral part of most Stanley Cup teams. The Canucks check those boxes. You know, Quinn Hughes is not your prototypical big number one guy, but he does defend. And it sounds like he's taken some offense at the implication he doesn't defend. Talk about his evolution a little bit into a guy that they can use as much as they do in both ends of the ice.
Well, he's really matured in a huge way. And it's not that he's afraid of taking chances. I don't think that's where his game has changed, really. I think it's really come down to his eagerness and willingness to get into the tougher areas. And it's not even so much about going out and hitting a guy, but it's about you putting yourself between a guy sometimes. You not being afraid of going to the corner and digging a puck out and being on the right side of a guy in front of the net even. And those are the types of things that, hey, you don't have to be the most physical guy, but don't let somebody just go right through you. And I think those are the things that he's done a really good job of. But he's such a smart player, and he's using his smarts with his anticipation to break plays up and get ahead of things. You see his stick being in the right passing, shooting lanes, deflecting pucks, and angling guys away. He's really matured in terms of how he's defending, not necessarily with size and strength, but just being smart about where he puts his position, where he puts his body, where he puts his stick. And it's really evolved in a massive way. You don't see him really get beat wide very often. And it's, you would think a guy that can skate well shouldn't get beat wide anyways, but his angles are better. His gap control is a lot stronger. And it's stuff that doesn't really stand out to you for a guy who's not big. You got to really watch him closely in his own end. But he really excels with the little details of defending. And it's pretty impressive seeing him grow in that aspect when it was a clear, you know, weakness of his game only a couple of years ago.
We're talking to Seth Shaw, host of Canucks Central on Real Kipper and Bourne. Seth, if you look at the change between the offseason with Hronek and now Zadorov, I mean, those are major changes that other teams can dream of because they're so locked in and not being able to get either money in or money out or add on its own. So where do the Vancouver Canucks go from here? Is this, can you see this roster settling in at a certain point, or are they still looking?
I think that they're very much still looking. The guy on the back end that they're trying to get done is Ethan Bear, and whenever he's willing to sign, we'll see if they are able to get that over the finish line. I wouldn't be shocked, guys, that if they are able to clear a little bit of more cap space, that they're still kind of in the market around some defensemen. I know Chris Tanev is going to be really hard to pull off. We know that a team like Toronto's obviously been interested in him as well. I know Elliot mentioned how both Zadorov and Tanev were kind of guys that were after to get. If the Canucks can clear cap space, I wouldn't be shocked if we start hearing them maybe sniffing around Tanev again to shore up the defense even more. And even if they do all those things, guys, let's say they are able to get another defenseman and sign Ethan Bear, I still think they're going to be open-minded to doing some stuff up front. Because as good as this Canucks team has been offensively, I think the goal scoring is somewhat misleading. They lead the league in goal scoring, but they don't generate consistent chances for that to really stay on top of the league the entire season. I think there'll be a time where if they can add another top six guy that can fit in, I think they would look at that as well. Because right now they have players like Sam Lafferty, Phil Giuseppe for a while was playing with JT Miller. So when you're using guys who are more third line players, fourth line players, filling in that F1 spot on the top six line, it means there's still some room for improvement. Clearly the defense is a priority, but you guys know Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin, obviously making more trades than anybody ever since being named the Canucks GM over a year and a half ago, that they're still going to be very active on the trade front. I don't think even if they add a couple of defensemen, they feel like this team is a finished product. I still think they would love to add some more talent up front if possible.
Yeah, that's the fascinating part here is I think there's been a recognition more than in the past or a lot of other front offices, like this team started out hot and they were kind of like, yeah, but we still need some work, which is pretty impressive to see. I was one of the people who was like, I don't think the Canucks are quite this good when they came out really good. And I know that was not a very popular sentiment in Vancouver because there's a lot of people basically being like, we know it's not going to, you know, they're not going to shoot at this great clip. So, you know, you think that this kind of puts them in an all-in position then to continue to improve as they move towards the trade deadline. I know they don't have a ton of flexibility, but where do you see them, their true talent level compared to the other elite contenders in that division, you know, Vegas and Los Angeles?
I think they're a notch below. So I'd say the top tier in the Western Conference, you have teams like Vegas, you probably put Colorado in that spot as well, right? And Dallas is kind of in that mix. I think Vancouver is just a tier below. And I'd say LA is in the same mix as Dallas and Vegas right now. But I think Vancouver is a stronger team than teams like Calgary, obviously. They're stronger than teams like Seattle, I think. And even, you know, clubs like the St. Louis Blues. Maybe the Winnipeg Jets are somewhat in that same tier what Vancouver is. So I think they're just a notch below those top end teams. If they're able to add a bona fide top four defenseman and a top six player, then all of a sudden I think you can talk about Vancouver maybe being in a similar class to Dallas, being a similar class to the Vegas Golden Knights. They're not too far off. When you have a great goaltender and you have the star players, if you get hot, you can still cause a lot of troubles for teams in that first or second round of the postseason. But in terms of being able to go head-to-head, there's still a talent gap between the very top teams in the West and where Vancouver is. But it's still, I think, a graduation point from this team, from being a team that was really in that mushy middle heading into the year in terms of how people viewed them. Now they're kind of viewed as a bona fide playoff team that's maybe one or two moves away from putting itself in that discussion of being a Stanley Cup contender.
Sam, one more for me before I let you go. And I just wanted to circle back on Zadorov because, again, the price wasn't necessarily a first or a second round pick here. So is this a rental situation? We know Zadorov left Calgary because he was not happy that they didn't have any interest in re-signing him. So where is Vancouver on long-term Zadorov?
I would be surprised if they don't get Zadorov done at some point. And I'm not saying imminently, but I'd be surprised that by the time we get to the offseason that they don't get Zadorov done to an extension. I think that connection with Dan Milstein and this front office has been too seamless and too fruitful for them not to get something done in this aspect. So I don't think they view him as a pure rental. It is interesting, though, that when you start looking at the cap space they have for next season, and they still have to sign Pettersson, they still have to sign Filip Hronek, and there's only so much cap space you have for it to go around. But I think even if those guys aren't quite done yet, they have a ballpark idea of what those ranges will look like for those two players. But I would be surprised, Kipper, that if they don't get Zadorov done, I think this was done in mind for helping them this season, but also being a player that they feel like can really fit in with this head coach and this organization long-term.
Okay, well, if I'm going down this path, we might as well go one more with Petey and where that number could lie. Are you in the market obsessed enough, like many here in the East, on Willie Nylander and his contract number and daily water talk?
Moves like the stock market here. Water, oh, it's 11-4, 10-9, 10-9.
Water talk here.
It's gone down. So when he was leading the league in scoring, Elias Pettersson was like, is he going to be the highest paid player in the league? Is somebody going to pay him more than what Connor McDavid is getting, what Austin Matthews is getting? And now he's cooled off and he's you know, way down the list. I think he's eighth or ninth now, and as far as a top scorer in the league. So people are looking at it and saying, well, is he closer to 10 or 11 million now? And I think the truth has always kind of been, and he's not obviously in the same class as McDavid and Matthews yet. Matthews' goal scoring rate is just incredible what he's done. So I do think those guys have a greater track record clearly of than where Pettersson is. So I never took it real seriously for him to be a guy that makes 12.5 million. I kind of look at the contract David Pastrnak got, 11 and change perhaps over, you know, whether that's 5 years, whether that's 4 years or even longer. I've always kind of viewed his range of being somewhere in that aspect. Guys, I think it simply comes down to Elias Pettersson right now. I think this management team has made it very clear. They believe in this player. They want to keep this player. They're willing to sign him whenever he's ready. It just comes down to, number one, what term is Pettersson looking for? Is it three? Is it four? Could it be a longer-term contract? And when is he willing to put ink to paper? And so far, as much as Pettersson's camp has said things are positive, he hasn't been willing to take that step yet to sit down and really hammer out a contract. And hopefully it's only a matter of time, but I'd say the range would kind of be in that Pastrnak contract when it's all said and done.
Sad, great stuff, man. So appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Sat.
All right. Sat Shaw, host of Canucks Central, Canucks game host, does a terrific job out there.
Yeah.
It's funny. It is very similar with the Willie contract. We haven't talked about it in however many shows.
It is funny that we haven't. Every time he scores, it's like, it's going up. And when he doesn't score, no one says it's going down.
Yeah. Well, because it's not going down. I think we all are pretty
yeah,
under
it's
the
not
well.
Going yeah. down.
But I think it's probably pretty similar with Pettersson.
It's not going
too.
Down. There's one thing that Sat mentioned, which I want to just pick up a little bit with you guys, and JT Miller, and he said, alpha dog.
Yeah.
I am a big believer in an alpha dog.
There's no one you love more in the league, I don't think.
Yeah, you love Miller. Yeah, he is your guy.
And that's great. That's okay. It's not a criticism to love JT Miller.
It's not. I just love the fact that there's some guys in there that can just have no problem taking the weight on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And he is one of them now. So it was kind of ugly last year for him. Kind of ugly in terms of probably listening to everybody come every which way and tell you that you need to go and Bo Horvat needs to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he hung in there. Everybody thought that the contract was a disaster last year, and now it's good value. And how much has he really changed?
Well, so this is something that's impressed me with Miller, is when Miller talks about his season last year, he doesn't go, well, I wasn't quite this or I wasn't quite that. He goes, it's the same. I'm playing the same, but we're winning. You know, so people look at what I do differently. He still had a few moments this year, turnovers, whatever, that have gone the other way. But he basically said, last year he did say that he forced it a little bit, but the biggest change is perception.
And Sat brought it up there. He's like, he got benched while he was leading the league in scoring. So it's like, there's still going to be little things with him where...
Well, the little things too, sometimes for me, is the body language, but I'd rather deal with his bad body language than a guy that shows nothing at all.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I want to give their front office credit here. You know, everyone was saying, keep Horvat, get rid of Miller, don't sign Miller. I was one of the people at the time. I think I said they should probably do a rebuild. They should probably move on from their big contracts. Eating that one a little bit this year because it seems like they got to go in the right direction.
I'm pretty surprised how good. I'm pretty surprised.
So if JT Miller's the alpha dog in Vancouver, who's the alpha dog in Winnipeg?
Well, Blake Wheeler got sent out of town, so I don't know.
Probably Shifley.
Shifley or their current captain in Lowry.
Yeah, I'd probably say Shifley, though. I guess my best player doesn't necessarily mean alpha. I love this conversation.
No. This is alpha dog. This is
Sports Talk Radio America's conversation.
Voice. We're having it.
I love
this. This is big voice.
Love it.
Big voice, big personality, guy that can take charge everywhere, on the ice and off the ice.
So in Edmonton, is that McDavid for you? Or is it Draisaitl or
King? All day long, 97.
Yeah. Okay.
All day long.
I mean, there's a lot of really obvious ones. Ottawa, clearly Brady.
Brady Kachuk.
He may be the number one alpha dog in the league.
Yeah.
And he's still learning to manage that, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're young and...
Kachuk.
May not be completely ready to...
It's unrefined.
Channel it in a positive...
it's a little raw.
Yeah.
How did you phrase it?
Unrefined.
There you go.
Yeah.
Leafs?
No. Calgary.
Not
sure they have one.
Yeah,
Lindholm.
I like Rasmus Anderson.
The first one that came to mind, I don't know why, was Coleman. I like Coleman a lot.
No, but he can't be.
It's like when Andrew Ferentz is the captain of the Oilers.
Lower tier.
This is all baiting us to say that Matthews isn't enough.
No. We'll get there.
Kadri?
We'll get there.
Kadri? Veteran guy, been on a lot of cup, win the cup.
Yeah.
Always had that kind of swag.
I like Kadri a lot. I just don't have him as a number one centerpiece kind of guy.
He's always been the third best player on his team or whatever.
Yeah.
So I
have trouble putting Kadri in as a complete alpha dog Stanley Cup. I like him behind Nate McKinnon.
Send us your alpha dog top 10.
I love this conversation. I can't tell you how much I love this conversation.
Did we cover every team in the league?
You didn't bring up the Leafs.
No, I didn't bring up the Leafs. Do the Leafs have an alpha dog?
Are you saying their captain, John Tavares, is not?
Not even close.
If I was
being an alpha dog.
I was going to say Morgan Riley would be the guy I would pick.
Morgan says the right things. He just, because he does, no one interviews him.
He's a passionate guy.
Like, yeah.
Cares. I don't know, him
It doesn't steer in that direction. For me, not Mitch.
Huh? Reeves?
Austin doesn't... I'm not sure he wants that. And I think if Austin wanted to be the captain and portray an alpha dog image, he probably could have had it by now.
He would have been the captain if he didn't show his little hiney to somebody. I truly believe that.
Doesn't
mean that it would have been the right choice.
I agree. I think Tavares was the easy choice. I think it was the one that, especially after whatever happened,
should have been Morgan all along.
I agree.
Yeah.
I actually agree. But I guess we'll find out in a couple years in Tavares.
Montreal have one?
Gallagher.
No.
No?
No.
Suzuki's
no.
Got too quiet, no. He's the guy who should
I
be.
I think.
Jacki?
Oh.
Gallagher maybe a few years ago, but mm-hmm. I don't think now. But I think they're looking for one.
Yeah. I don't know how many of them fit your criteria in the league where you're one of the top three guys on your team, but you're also outspoken.
Yeah. Wow, you could pick 12 teams and go through it and know for sure.
Like Mark Stone's that?
They have like four.
I'm telling you, I love Petrangelo too.
Yeah.
I think he's sneaky alpha dog.
The slash on Draisaitl was pretty defensive. Yes. Pretty confident.
Boston.
McKinnon, 100%.
Boston, no problem finding one there.
Yeah.
Right?
You could call, instead of the Cats, you could call them the Florida alpha dogs.
Yeah.
Every guy on that team.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, Sammy.
Boys, what a great conversation.
You love that.
Oh, I do. Well, I listen to a lot of American sports talk. Like, I like talking about basketball and everything else, and it's like that's much more of a thing you'd talk about. Anyways, right. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, a couple things. Just to looking at a few games for tonight before I get into a future. So the Habs are pretty big underdogs on home ice tonight. They're +140 against the Seattle Kraken. The Seattle Kraken are -160. And to me, watching the Seattle Kraken play teams, there is no way they should be favored by that over anybody.
And Montreal's actually not that bad.
They have professional hockey players and they can play. So to me, that's an easy one for the Habs tonight on home ice.
Okay.
They cannot score.
No.
Squids?
Oh,
they suck.
Now they lost Schwartz for a long time.
Yeah, and they got shut out by the Sens on Saturday night. I don't love them as a huge favorite in Montreal. The Flyers on home ice, +100 against the Penguins. We can listen to Torts later in the show talk about why they win so many games. But, love the Flyers and love the direction. So give me the Flyers.
What's my Pittsburgh number there?
-120.
I still like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's results have not matched their process, which has been pretty good.
Yep. And so the future that I wanted to bring up was, do you think for the worst regular season record, the Sharks were such overwhelming favorites for this for so long, and now they're down to -150 for the worst record to finish with, and the Blackhawks are right there with them at +230. So there's been such a huge change from the start of the season to now for the worst team in the league.
The Blackhawks and the San Jose Sharks. Go ahead.
I was just saying, San Jose Sharks hung in there at Madison Square Garden last night.
They did. Scored 5 on the Rangers.
That's, I think, and half the team lost. Was skating at Rockefeller Center or something for the Rangers for that to happen.
But hey, you know, they played similar amount of games. The Blackhawks are -29.
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks are -55.
Yeah, you lost 10-0 twice. That doesn't help.
How is that an endorsement?
Because those are two games. They're just one-offs.
They're just two-offs, actually.
Yeah. So right. I just find it very interesting that, right from the start of the year, we're all like, they're going to be by far the worst. And the third best odds for that, who do you think it is?
For the worst team, mm-hmm. Columbus.
Yes, correct. Columbus is there, and then it goes to Montreal, Anaheim, and then Arizona. So they don't really have a lot of options.
Arizona?
Yeah, but they're like
Arizona's in a playoff.
Yeah, but
spot.
They're like +150.
Okay.
So it's just, anyway, so I just thought that was interesting to bring up.
And it was.
Okay. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and open a window in here or a door. Is there a sunroof somewhere we can open up?
Shirtless when we come back and no
one wants. Absolutely gotten way worse, right?
Yeah. What is going on?
I'm dying.
They hate us.
That's I'm melting. Like, I'm physically getting tired as the show goes on.
Sam's napping.
They're trying
shirtless.
To smoke us out.
Honestly. Yeah,
that's what's happening here. All right, but we're going to battle through it.
Yes, pit stains and all.
And we have plenty more around the NHL to get to, including a $12 million contract in Winnipeg. Who's a healthy scratch in Washington? Is it baseballs, basketballs? What is Tortorella talking about?
I don't know, but I'm also looking forward to talking about baseball at some point in the show. Because there's Soto and Ohtani to talk about. So we need to get to that point.
Oh, no. And a Tampa Bay argument or argument. Conversation.
Yes.
On,
we have so much show left.
On whether what's going on in Tampa Bay. This was supposed to be fixed with their goalie coming back. Not the case for the Tampa Bay Lightning. As you can tell, plenty more still to go on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkin Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vic Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee. News and notes. Where do you want to go?
Not sweating. I'd like to go somewhere cool. Okay.
My vote is Lightning.
Okay, Lightning.
Okay, they got their lunch fed to them by the Dallas Stars.
Spoon-fed their porridge.
And I think it's... I'm having a tough time.
Are you all right over there?
Yeah, they're all tangled up. So I think it's a horrible look. Like, they're all like, oh, Vassie's like a competitor. He won't come out of the net. You gave up six, bud. You got to come out of the net. Too bad.
Gotta come out of the net.
Too bad.
Did they not pull him?
He wouldn't come out.
He wouldn't come out.
What do you mean wouldn't come out?
He wouldn't come out. The backup, what's his name there, Johansson, was getting all his gear on and wouldn't go. Wouldn't go.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he wouldn't go.
That's a big deal.
It's embarrassing. That's showing up a Hall of Fame coach. I know you play every minute.
Listen, I think John Cooper has really gone head and shoulders above and beyond respecting Vasilevsky over the years in this sort of scenario, but to blatantly go against your head coach on a coach's decision like that.
Listen.
Is a listen.
All right. Let me just throw this out there. Is Cooper in trouble? The big thing with Cooper has been
Sammy.
Yes. He doesn't need to go with his
Sammy
guys.
Thinks he's going to get, they're going to fire Sheldon and now hire John Cooper.
Oh my God, I wouldn't
be able to handle that. Thing is that Cooper doesn't need to go at these guys often because they know. They know what they need to do. They can turn it on at the right time. They're 10-10, minus 10 goal differential, lost four in a row. He's lost it on them a number of times now. The goalie's not coming out of the net. I think you could say they're underachieving their roster.
Or just the roster isn't that good anymore.
No, but people don't admit that. You're not allowed to admit that.
I will say this, that I expect them to finish the season regardless.
Yeah.
But they all have a shelf life, including John Cooper.
The longest tenured coach in the NHL by a good distance.
So have they finally tuned them out? Or they finally had enough? Like, there's some distractions out there. You cannot tell me the Steven Stamkos contract scenario
absolutely
was not anywhere near a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the longest tenured coaches in the league, he is more than 2 years the longest tenured, going back to March of 2013. So we're coming up. Actually, we're past 10 years.
Which is incredible,
Ryan. He's been there.
Yeah. That's longer than I thought it was. That's really good. I bet you Keith's sneaky high on that list.
You know what he is. There is 6 guys ahead of Keith. He is the 7th longest tenured coach.
Wow.
You know who the guy ahead of him is? Just by, I don't know, 4 or 5 months? DJ Smith.
Yeah.
He's been around a long time with Ottawa, who I know some Sens fans have
won him out yesterday.
Yeah. And I think
so, hold
coach
on. We're done on the Lightning?
No, we're not.
We're on the Lightning?
No.
Let's not lose the...
Okay, sorry.
This is a very exciting time for me and my family.
I think...
I'm so happy for you.
I also think...
I'm thrilled.
...that it was not a foregone conclusion that Vasilevsky was going to come back from major back surgery and just step in and be the savior for Tampa Bay. It just doesn't happen that way.
You know, for my money, he's been the best goaltender of the past 10 years or whatever in Cooper's time in the NHL, and that's probably why I believe he never pulled him last season, regardless of
what was happening. I don't know if he ever has in the last gazillion years I can remember.
Well, and he's only 29.
Remember our playoff conversations where we would be like, how, like the Leafs ran it up on them a couple times, but they scored six and we're like, how is he not taking them out?
Just take him out, give him a break.
It's insane. It's a playoff series. Never did.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving.
How old is he, Sammy? How old is he?
He is 29.
Yeah.
See, he is an incredibly young, successful goalie.
It's crazy that he's 29.
Nine and a half until 2028.
If he never regains the status of what he had before back surgery, like, it's a pretty good reason why your game falls off. Back surgery for a goalie.
So Derek's on fire.
So since 2017, 2018, 2016, 2017, these are regular season games played. 50, 65, 53, 52, 42, 63, 60. And that doesn't even, I'm not even looking at the playoffs here. The playoff numbers are even, that's 4, 8, 17, 4, 25, 23, 23. It's just a ton of hockey.
It is a lot of games. And
We should consider him like a dog. He's 29.
But in goalie years.
In goalie years, he's like 73.
Yeah. And you know what's fascinating is we sit here and talk about Cooper. Is he in trouble? It's the same thing as every coach who's ever been fired. They're the fourth last team in the NHL in team save percentage. They're getting 88% is the team save percentage
hard
at this point. Only teams below them. Oilers, Devils, and Hurricanes.
Devils have been brutal goaltending.
They've got no help. They're second to last. Canes have got the worst goaltending in the NHL this year. Oilers climbing on up.
Victor Hedman, 1,000 games.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that's had tremendous wear and tear over those 1,000 games. And just, again, to revisit that blue line outside of Victor Hedman, how good is it? Sergachev, we have him as... You know, according to a salary at over $8 million, one of the better defensemen in the league. I think he's prone sometimes to look like he's made
some
big mistakes out there.
He can look like Tyson Berry both ways some days.
Zadorov, another guy known for prone mistakes.
Yeah, he's minus 16 in the year.
So Hedman walked through this building once. He was coming here to do an interview, and he looked like that tree person in Lord of the Rings.
He's a mutant.
Just an massive. Absolute mutant.
And he skates like he's 6'1".
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous how good he is. But I think time, it always happens with every really good run. Like, it kind of happens quicker than you expect
it. Oh, Sammy, it's over, is it?
Not saying it's close to over. Oh. But I'm just saying.
You're taking for Hedman or for the team?
For the team.
Okay.
Not for Hedman. I mean, Hedman will probably play 1,500 games. He'll be cruising around forever.
For sure.
But I just mean, like, it happens quicker than you expect it always.
Yeah.
When these teams, just a downturn happens and it's like, oh, they're not as good.
Use up all your resources trying to not go the other way. And all of a sudden it's like, God, did we trade Janot for 5 picks?
Yeah, that was
nice. Then you don't have 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Winnipeg Jets, Inc. El Nino. Peter Ryder, 3 years, $12 million contract extension. I thought these were going away as the dodo bird.
The middle class deals?
Yes, the middle class. Either you're making $10 million or you're making $750. There's no middle guy, but there is for Nino.
Sam and I were talking about him. His like career earnings are fascinating. He's just always been the middle class guy who's pretty good. And you love him on your team if he makes like three, and when he was making five, you didn't want him. So he's like that guy that...
Been pretty good with Lowry and Appleton.
His last two contracts, he signed a 2-year contract in 2022 with the Predators for 2 years, $4
million. Four mil.
And he just signed another contract for 3 years, $4
million. And he works hard. He's a strong guy. He'll shoot it in the net sometimes. Like, you know what you're getting from him. No one loves him. Like that.
A little fiery, too.
It'll expire by the time he's, 34? It's not... Horrible.
And he'll sign for 2 years, $4 million again.
And, keeping him in Winnipeg. Yeah, get another $4 million contract.
What, do you guys want to play the Torts clip?
Yeah. Yes. So Torts really pumping up his team.
He's like, I don't think we're very good, but we should do it.
We suck.
No, that was old.
So, the clip from after they beat the Penguins in a shootout. I think they beat the Penguins on a shoot on Saturday. And then he talked about why they won the game. If Derek, you want to play that clip?
No, we win the game because we got balls. We do.
we do stupid stuff. We don't make some plays sometimes. Lose sight of certain momentums in the games. a number of things we have to work on and try to get consistent at. But one thing we do have is balls.
There you go.
Balls.
Balls.
Just one word to let me follow up.
Balls.
Balls. Hey, okay.
I'm okay with it, but some nights where it doesn't look, you also got to say that we have no balls.
Is that, yeah.
Can he say,
it's a really
does
interesting,
he want to go down that path?
It's an interesting thing to say that, yeah, we got a lot of stupid stuff. We're not very good. I don't like, you know, some of the decisions we make, but we, you know.
Oh,
I will say.
The size of elephant nuts.
You have.
Balls.
You have been critical of the Leafs this year for not being that version of success.
What are you pinning it on me for? They've been called soft for 4 years. Wow. I'm the guy?
You are the guy, yes.
Yeah.
You're not the guy now?
And where is everybody else on some nights? Like Sheldon.
No, you're right.
Sheldon called
he
his own team
his
soft.
Euphemisms. He beats around the bush, if you will. Oh, man. Friday?
Is it important anymore to have these in 2023?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually not smiled upon to use that language.
To me, there's...
No, but we can say bag skate.
Yeah, I actually did get a scolding for saying that Tavares was working his school
balls
bag off. So yeah,
working his bag off. There.
I do like Torts sometimes. He's very hit and miss.
We can have a whole show on Torts and his sound bites. Of course, you love him.
Sometimes I hate him.
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy.
At least you talk about alpha type of guys.
Yes.
Who will tell you what they think. John would meet that requirement for Philly.
Yes.
Can the coach be that? Or maybe the coach should be that.
Yeah, he can set a tone.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, Tuck could set a tone in Vancouver. Tortorella has one in Philly. So
at least you know where you stand.
Yeah, I think most definitely these type of coaches can set the tone.
Torts does that. He knows what they want. The guys know what they want from him.
Look south of the border, the college football guys, their coaches are all the biggest stars.
Yeah.
That's like the whole thing is like Saban and Kirby Smart, all these guys are the biggest stars. Yeah.
Coach
Deion
Prime.
Didn't work out too hot this year, but
they lost 100 in a row.
But no, it's just like, I think the coach can be a star, kind of. Especially, I think Babcock would have been the star if he had been on Columbus this year, but that didn't turn out so well, did it?
Yeah.
So where, you mentioned briefly early before we brought it back to Tampa Bay, but you mentioned the Ottawa Senators. Big shout-out win
after
over
they come.
Seattle.
After losing to Columbus.
After losing to Columbus. But where are we with the vibe that everything gets fixed with DJ Smith?
I'm Team Ottawa.
Leaving.
No, I don't think that's it. I think this team, you know what's going on right now? They haven't played any games. You look at the standings, they're at the bottom. They're actually last in the Eastern Conference, but they're 9-10 with a +1 goal differential. The teams ahead of them are minus 14, minus 14, minus 19, minus 4. Like, Ottawa is going to play more games. They've played 19, and Columbus has played 26. Look at the GR games remaining.
Yeah.
So if they, you know, they play 5 games, they win 3 or 4 of them, all of a sudden they're up at whatever that is, 23, 24 points. They're in the mix. I like Ottawa still, and I don't think they're done this year.
Kipper, your spidey sense about Korpisalo, though, was...
Yeah, that's not going great.
He's okay, but
he's not okay.
Yeah, I know. He's okay as a 1B.
Yeah.
He's an 897 so far this year.
Making 5x5.
897?
Yeah, 897.
You know what, though?
3-4-1
goals against. To kind of help him out a little bit. What's the league average now?
It's just over 900. It's
902,
or something.
904.
Yeah. You're
so
right. It's not that
crazy.
And they were without Thomas Chabot, who plays 27, one of their number one guy in terms of ice time for 10 games or something for a stretch there. So Ottawa's too good. They got too much talent.
Elliot Friedman on Saturday, I think, and just part of that, mentioned Tyson Barrie allowed to shop his services. You know, when a player gets told you can go out and shop your own services.
He's been
that's
told
the team
else.
Telling him we're out of ideas.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Route ideas, how to use you? Is that what you mean?
You don't have to go, but you can't stay here.
You know? We don't know what to do with you.
Yeah.
You got any ideas?
It is funny to go to the player and be like, could you trade yourself? Could we arrange this somehow?
And the answer is yes, because that's what good agents do.
And the very first thing my brain, like a lot of Canadian teams' brains, go like, can he work in Toronto? Can he work in Edmonton?
Saw it in both those places.
I know.
There's a lot of people pointing to the direction of New Jersey Devils because Dougie Hamilton's out for a prolonged period of time. What did he do? He ripped his arm apart or something?
Torn pec.
Yeah.
So everybody wants to assume that Tyson Barrie can go and fill those minutes up of Dougie Hamilton's, but he doesn't strike me as a type of guy.
Does to me. I can see them liking
it.
Yeah. You know, they had Subban there for years. Dougie Hamilton is one of those. Hamilton's working out pretty good.
Hey, should we talk about Kuznetsov not playing this evening?
Yes, Washington in disarray.
That's a $5 million player not playing. Carberry.
Yeah, and he made a comment that said he just needs a mental reset. We need to reset his brain is another way of saying a mental reset. Like, get him back on some sort of good wavelength. Would not be shocked were he to not be a Capital on March 4th.
I think they've probably tried on a few occasions. I mean, he's had some issues there, and then he's played well, and then he has some issues there, and I think we could just blame his shootout speed for all of it.
A lot of people would like a guy who could score like him, right?
We might wonder when Alex Ovechkin will go to the press box.
Give us the OV update. How's his goal watch?
He's got one since November 14th.
Oh, that's a lot of days ago.
Five up to now? Still stuck at five?
Stuck at five.
Boy, Kuznetsov had 12 goals last year. I missed that tidbit.
Speaking of goals, Sammy, did you see Trevor Moore's goal?
Oh, my God.
Saturday night?
I saw it.
Put his team in the spin cycle.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
Good.
And
bar down.
And I saw Byfield, and who was it that he passed?
On the bench, just be like, oh!
No, Byfield on the bench. Byfield and his buddy, was it Kempe?
Kopi and Kempe?
Yes.
They did like the
Boston. They did a Boston Bruins goalie celebration.
Like
a
pre-planned celly.
I'm in on pre-planned cellies. I like them.
Oh my God! I'd crack my head over my stick over your head.
Yeah,
if I was
happen.
On the ice beside you.
I scored an OT winner in Fairbanks.
I get it's 2023.
Sign my stick, and I
probably have to be a little bit more patient now for cellies, but pre-planned cellies.
Yeah.
It's just energy wasted.
You did what?
It was right after T.O. had done NFL.
Yes.
I scored an OT winner. Anchorage versus Fairbanks, OT winner, and by Fairbanks bench, I pretended to pull a Sharpie and sign my stick and give it to someone else.
I think you actually did the Sharpie.
And the next game, I lined up by a guy, Kyle Greenwood might have been his name, something like that, and he goes, that's a pretty fancy stelly for a guy who's had a bad career.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But no stick over the head?
No, I didn't get kissed college,
You were lucky, though.
What are you going to do? I had a full cage.
That's true. That's a great sally.
Yeah.
By the way, LA's coming on here.
Oh, they're a wagon. They definitely deserve the conversation.
They're my favorite team in the league.
Strong. The only thing you kind of wondered, the goaltending, but Talbot's put that to rest early in the season so far. But I'm not sure where you want to go with that goaltending.
I'm sure they're keeping an eye on things around the league.
Yeah.
I would imagine goaltending-wise.
9-0-0 on the road.
It's crazy.
The Kings.
Yeah. Crazy.
And Byfield. Turning into a...
Byfield, Kempe, and Kopitar. 6'2", 6'3", 6'5".
Big,
ting, ting, ting with a little tic-tac-toe the other night. Look out for that line.
Loved him since junior. Glad it's turning out. He was awesome.
Trying
for
to hang
juniors.
On those guys in playoffs? Good luck.
Stud.
All right, how many games on tap, Sammy? Six?
Got a few there. Prepared
you got
it
a few.
For you. I don't know where they are.
Dallas and Tampa Bay. Dallas and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa gets Dallas again.
8-1.
Wow.
This will tell us a lot about Tampa. Are they
going to
give us a better showing tonight? Yeah.
And at some point, are we going to have to talk about Arizona at all?
I'm good.
Playoff spot. I'll just say Schmaltz and Keller. I like
Keller's a good player.
Yeah,
really good.
Our thanks today to Craig Simpson and Sat Shaw, host of Canucks Central, for joining us on Real Kipper and Bourne. Enjoy your games tonight. Give us a rating and review if you get a chance. We'd love to hear from you. We're back to do it all again tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.